Hi, welcome to my 13th entry for my diary. So, actually 14th. I am feeling good today. I went to the gym. I did all the things I had to do. It's kind of rainy outside, but I kind of like rainy days sometimes. I feel like when you're in the mood to be more productive, sometimes like having rain outside forces you to, sit in your room or in your office and kind of just get things done, as opposed to just wanting to wander around and like enjoy the weather and stuff like that. So it's gonna be a good day. I'm trying to get as much done as possible. I have to do a script later for another assignment, and yeah, I haven't looked at the news enough about the Olympics. I don't think Canada has won anything yet. There's some close wins, I believe, that I did see, but nothing that's kind of there to celebrate just yet. I think there was something to do with cycling that we were very close. And I'm just going to go right into my topic today. Sorry, I'm just browsing really quickly through the news. I should have done this before. Okay, so there's nothing really that I really want to talk about on the news front, but I want to talk about a queen today, Queen Victoria. So everybody knows Queen Victoria pretty much. She was a queen that reigned England from June 20th, 1837, to the 22nd of January, 1901. So she reigned for a very long time. I think Queen Elizabeth now is the only monarch who had, queen who has reigned longer than her. She was there for 63 years. Now I'm curious to see Elizabeth second reign. Okay, so Elizabeth second 69 years, Victoria 63 years. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, that's 69 years and she's still living. Sorry, I'm like, I didn't realize it would be that long. I thought she'd be like a year over her. But anyway, so Queen Victoria is, she is or she was reigning in a time where a lot of things changed, and I've talked about this a lot of times in my other diary entries, where like the end of the 1800s into the 1900s was such a time of change with technology, mentality. There's a lot of like there was the Industrial Revolution in England. There was new infrastructure being built, new companies being built, like train stations, railways, steel, just so many things, phones, electricity. And so and through all of this changes, industrial, political, scientific, military change, there was she just kind of kept this image of sort of like poised image. So like the Victorian era is known to be very like put together and poised and royal and regal and like conservative as well. So there's that kind of image that is attached to her. So like the really strict standards of morality type of thing. So I don't really want to get too much into her life. I mean, it's a really long life with a lot of things that happened. She was definitely involved in a lot of colonization, which definitely is not good. She had a lot of kids. I think she had 9 children. And that's kind of where I want to dive in deeper, is like her, not only just her legacy, but how people place her in history in a sense. So the reason why I wanted to talk about this was because I watched a YouTube video called "Was Queen Victoria Illegitimate?" And short answer, probably not. And this was a video by History Tea Time with Lindsay Holiday. So this is just an account where she talks a lot about history. And she is a really interesting video. She dives in deep into how the royal line is set up, how like, if this person was, took the throne instead of her, it would have been this, or all kinds of different marriages and things that happened in order for Victoria to become queen. And the reason why the illegitimacy of her reign is in question is because a historian recently kind of said that her mother had like a lover, like an affair, and that she might be the daughter of that affair as opposed to the king himself. Now, if you look at the picture of her dad, her like king dad, there's no way that's not his daughter. Like, they look exactly the same, in my opinion. They have the same big eyes, similar nose. Like, they just look so much alike. And that's really, and all in the comments in this video, everybody's like, that's obviously her dad. Like, there's no way. The other man was more like a tall, dark, and handsome, you know, the one that her mom had an affair with, where he just didn't really look like her that much. So I think that she is legitimate, and based on all of this video and everything, I think people mostly agree. But it kind of brought into question for me the idea of identity. Like, I think that it's something that I've been thinking about a lot without explicitly thinking about the word identity. So, like, I've been thinking about, oh, like, where do I, you know, since COVID, kind of, where do I fit in? Like, how do I interact with people too now that I'm doing more social things in person that I haven't done before? What kind of person do I want to be moving forward now that things are opening up and getting back to quote unquote normal? What kind of job do I want, you know, now that I'm doing this program? What do I want to, how do I want to present myself online? How do I want to, you know, it's like, I'm just thinking a lot about these things. I'm sure many people are, because we've had a severe change into COVID where we were stuck in our homes and we had to like get to know ourselves, and almost that type of, we had to learn our identity in that type of way, like learning what we like, what we don't like, how we feel comfortable, how we deal with anxiety and depression and all these different things, isolation. And then now suddenly we have to rethrow ourselves back into the world and try to see what our identity is in the bigger scheme of things. Like, how do I fit in the world around the people that I have always been close with, but now have a maybe a different dynamic with because of the pandemic, or in the even bigger scale, like at work, you know, like just walking down the street doing whatever. And it's something that's really hard, because when you don't feel like you have an identity, like a strong identity that you can latch onto, in some ways you feel kind of lost. And it's like, identity in my opinion is pretty fluid. Like, you can kind of just change, you know, you change as you grow up, you change as you learn things, the more different relationships you have with different people alter how you see yourself, and you act differently with different people. It's just, there's a lot of fluidity and change and whatever, growth. But that said, though, since you're children, you grow up with certain things that you're just like, that's me. Like, for example, I really like, this is not true, but, you know, since I was young, I really like to play hockey, and I've always played hockey my whole life. And now I still play hockey sometimes with my friends, and I want to teach my kids hockey. And it's like, you are not hockey, but your identity is formed strongly on being interested in hockey, one, in the sport and maybe certain teams that you really like that you connect your identity to, but also in the memories that you've made through that and how you want to continue that on. Also, it could be something like, I have really long hair and everybody compliments my hair since I was a little girl, and maybe my identity is connected to my hair and some kind of appearance that I have, and everybody since to this day talks about it. So I just really want to keep my hair long and beautiful, and if somebody were to cut my hair, I would lose a part of me because it's such a big part of my identity. Or sometimes your identity is connected to other people. Like, my dad is the CEO of Walmart, whatever. He was the CEO of Walmart. He, like, you know, since I was young, he like owned the big company or whatever. I was always going to Walmarts as a kid. I always felt like I had to be more business minded because he was business minded. It's like, we really latch on to these things. You know, it could be cultural as well. It could be related to your race as well, the country you're from, you know, some, you know, that you see that a lot with the sporting events. Like when we had the Euro Cup for soccer, you know, Italy won, and you could see the pride in people because they connect with those roots. And interestingly enough, like, I've been wanting to do a DNA test, you know, those like ancestry ones. And I watched a video on it in one of our classes. Actually, we watched a video on how people did those tests, and they all found out that they had so many roots that they didn't know. And you're basically like a citizen of the world. Like, although yes, you might be more from one area of the world and some people more than others, and your culture is very important to you and your bloodline's important to you in that way, you still have so much blood and connection, DNA from other places in the world, that realistically you can't just base your identity on one country. You're not like, I am Lebanese and I'm only Lebanese and I will always be like Lebanese and that's that. And like, and I'm saying this because I am partially Lebanese. But yeah, like, it's just, we just latch on to things in identity in so many ways. It could vary in so many ways. It could even just be like, I smell good. It could even just be like, I always say, oh my God, after every sentence, that's just who I am. Like, you just latch onto these things. Anyways, I'm going to stop going on about that. Clearly that's easy to understand for anybody. But the thing is that I've been analyzing it a lot and realizing just how much we rely on these things and how I rely on these things, especially since COVID. And the reason I found that the Queen Victoria story was interesting is, like, people are, she's obviously identified as a queen. That's her identity, a big part of our identity, and her children and future identities. And because of that, her legitimacy being in question is such a big deal. And it's like, why even us as a society who are not related to Queen Victoria, who are not even in the same era as Queen Victoria, are so interested in if she's legitimate or not? Why is that even a question? Well, obviously it's a question for bigger reasons than identity. You know, it's more about, like, political reasons, government, I don't know, like, whatever royal reasons that it would matter for, like, a monarchy in a kingdom of some sort in England. Like, I get that there's other reasons why that would make a difference. But that said, though, it's for people who are not involved in that, we just want to know because we're like, oh my God, she's not who she says she is. That's not her identity anymore. Like, we really just need certain people to be certain things sometimes. It's not even just about our own identity. It's about other people. It's like, if we meet somebody and for so long, they've always, again, loved soccer and they've always played soccer, and suddenly they stop and they've changed quite a bit because their habits change quite a bit because they don't like soccer anymore. We might feel betrayed in some way because we're like, well, you were my soccer friend. We always talked about soccer. I knew you liked soccer. You played it. Why aren't you doing it? Like, we get thrown off by not only when our identity changes, but other people's identity changes and they grow. And it's like, why are we so focused on this? Why is it such a big thing that we need to label or get uncomfortable when a certain type of person, whether it's us or somebody else, grows and changes and is not what we thought it was? And sometimes what we think of someone is not even real. Like, sometimes this is the perfect example, is like when you date somebody, you meet them and you're like, oh my God, they're so nice, they're so cute, they're so funny, whatever. And then you're in your head, you're building this image of this person, this fantasy, this dream, this identity, and you're like, you know, they're not the type of person to want to do this or something. 2 weeks later, you find out that they are that type of person. You just didn't get to know them enough, or you just painted them in this way in your head because of your own projections and your own things, as well as the way that you put them into, like, a box based on what they were saying. It's just like a mix of things, obviously, but we just so stuck on putting people in those boxes. And I find this a lot with women as well, like how women are perceived. Like, for example, I was a fashion student. I worked in the fashion industry. I was a fashion editor. Great time of my life, you know, very important to forming who I am, my identity, but also just like learning a lot, all these things. But I've decided to change that identity, or I decided that I don't necessarily want to be focused on that in my life. I decided this years ago. This was like almost like not long after I graduated, to be honest with you. I realized that I do like certain aspects of the things I learned, like the journalism stuff that I did, but not the fashion stuff. And so even though fashion is still part of my life, it's not what I want to do for like my career and whatever. And I have struggled trying to get that across to people, not because people are mean and don't care. It's because they naturally position me in that place when I tell them my background. They're like, oh, you're a fashion student, so you want to do journalism. That's fashion journalism. Like, even some teachers or people that I meet in my classes or whatever, and I'm not even saying this in a bad way, I just mean like it's just a natural thing. Like, they kind of like, oh, so Sarah, you like fashion, you like journalism, fashion journalism. And it's literally the complete opposite that I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to stray away from that because I was already there before. But often that message doesn't come across because often women get put, and not just women, but mainly women from my, not mainly women. I'm specifically talking about women because I am a woman. So that's why I'm focusing on them. But anyways, yeah, it's just, it's not even bashing anybody who said that or done that to me or with me. It's more that there's that need that I notice comes out when I explain those things. So it's like, now that I'm trying to change myself or change my career direction pretty much, it's so hard to remove that former self that people might connect with from my career. Anyways, it's not about me, but it's just, I'm just saying, like, we have this really big urge to latch on to these things. And I don't really have a conclusion to this. There's no solution right now. I'm just kind of ranting, as I've been doing for the past few episodes, I feel like. But these things are really, like, the last few episodes, I've been really having these, like, kind of like epiphanies. They're not massive epiphanies, but they're just like thoughts that are really helping me process how I've been feeling, who I am, where I fit in, all these different things. So I'm really enjoying it, even though it's kind of all over the place sometimes when I'm explaining it. But yeah, I feel like I want to try personally to be better at not putting people in boxes, not judging people by their identity or projecting an identity onto somebody. But also, I really want to form an identity for myself that I know I'm comfortable with changing. Because I think that we not only do this to other people, but we really get uncomfortable when we change the identity that we have changes. And I want to be able to adapt a perspective that I feel comfortable with, being more fluid with how I can change and grow as a person. And the last thing I want to say is just analyze, like, why people do this. I think it has to do with, we really want to belong. Like, I think at the end of the day, the reason why identity is such a big thing, it's because we mentally want to organize things in our head. I think our brain is naturally like, okay, this goes here, this person's like this, that person's like that. We're trying to make sense of the world and the people around us, and that's totally okay. And also, I think we want to belong. Like, we want to feel like, okay, I am part of this group. I belong to it. I'm connected to it. It's special to me. I'm special to that group. Like, you know, it's a need for like community, a need for acceptance, a need for, again, making sense of the world. So yeah, I was all over the place with